Welcome to Just a Minute. Oh, thank you. Hello. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show four highly talented players of the game, who've all excelled themselves in various forms of comedy and humour with great distinction. So it's a pleasure to welcome, in no particular order, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Jenny Eclair, and Clement Freud, and would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak at different times on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card in front of me. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the beautiful, elegant Theatre Royal in that wonderful coastal city of Brighton in the lovely county of Sussex. And as you've just heard, we have in front of us a great cosmopolitan Brighton audience, all ready and eager to get the show going. So let's start with Paul Merton and the subject, Paul, very apt for this show in Brighton, Brighton Rock. Tell us something about Brighton Rock in just a minute, if you can, starting now.
It was a book, then a film, and now a piece of souvenir confectionery. The movie was made circa 1948, I think. Richard Attenborough played the part of Pinky, and there were various other actors in there. It's a Graham Greene story originally, and he may have indeed have written the screenplay. It was a wonderful, evocative piece of cinema made just after the war, when Brighton was perhaps not... Bogner.
Julia, you were the first to challenge.
Hesitation,
and there. So, Julian, you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, which is Brighton Rock, and there are 36 seconds available, starting now.
There's a lot to be said for having something long, pink and hard in your mouth. The longer the better, I always say, and particularly delicious when that sugary coating slips down the back of your throat. I never leave Brighton without a bag full of Brighton Rock. It's what I come here for. It's delicious. I can't get enough of it. It's particularly...
Paul Merton challenges. I think that's interesting. Julian, I think you struck a chord with this audience somewhere there. Paul, what was your challenge?
There's a slight hesitation there.
Well, there was so much laughter from the audience, I didn't hear any hesitation, actually.
No, you couldn't hear it?
I couldn't hear a hesitation. No, you couldn't hear a hesitation, no, but I didn't observe it, and I wasn't aware of it, because he seemed to be going in full throttle, and the audience were going with him. Julian, I disagree with the challenge. You have another point, and you still have Brighton Rock, and you have 7 seconds starting now.
It's particularly nice if it's pink, and I...
Clement Freud challenge.
It's been pink.
It's been pink before, yes. So that's a great challenge to Clement, a point to him, and 4 seconds to tell us something about Brighton Rock starting now.
I like the film enormously because Hermione Baddeley was one of my favourites.
In this show, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud. So at the end of that round, he has 3 points. Julian's got 2, and the other 2 have yet to score. Julian, will you take the next round? It's how to bring a boring conversation to a conclusion. You can repeat in this show the subject on the card or any individual words at any particular time. Julian, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
My favourite method of bringing a boring conversation to a close would be to say, I tire of you. Failing that, I try physical means such as glazing over, perhaps falling asleep, or getting out a gun.
Jenny, close shot.
He might have been trying to breathe, but I think it was a hesitation.
I think it was too, Jenny, yes.
Oh, you heard that one, did you?
Yes. I observed it. I was aware of it.
Are you aware?
Yes, I was aware of it. Thank you, Paul, for this. Jenny, a correct challenge. So you have how to bring a boring conversation to a conclusion and 46 seconds available, starting now.
The simplest way of bringing a dull conversation to a close is simply to say, I've got the most appalling diarrhea. Do excuse me. The other option one can try, this works for me, is to say, would you like to sleep with me? At this point, they look at their watch and simply remember, I don't know why I said simply, because I've said simply twice
I know
I know what I have done.
You know what you've done, but some sometimes they can be generous and let you go.
Did they?
They didn't. No, Paul Merton challenged.
Oh.
Well, you said simply four times.
Yes. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have a point. You have how to bring a boring conversation to a conclusion and 28 seconds starting now.
I usually find the words, goodness, Nicholas, is at the time, brings the conversation to an end. It's amazing how well this works. Is any sign of situation you find yourself in circumstances where you're chatting away to somebody and you think, oh, my God, I wish I was dead. And suddenly you see an opportunity to close that pit of intercourse between the two of you. And what a blessed relief it is.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
We're talking about conversation, not intercourse.
You can have verbal intercourse.
You can.
And also,
that might be the best offer you get all night, Clement.
And also, grammatically, you can as well. We give you a bonus point for what you said, but Paul was not, strictly speaking, deviating from the subjects on the card, so he keeps the subject with another point and 3 seconds to go on how to bring a boring conversation to a well conclusion, starting now.
The very best thing to do, and mark my words.
Right. Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle wind, gained the extra point and has moved forward. He's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud. Right, Jenny, will you take the next subject?
I will.
The subject is clutter. Tell us something about clutter. Is it something that's predominant in your life?
Well
anyway, we'll hear about it in just a minute, starting now.
Do you know, being a slovenly old slut, I have heaps of clutter in my life, beneath the bed, behind the curtains. I live with a minimalist for whom clutter is an absolute anathema. He's always following me around with his little dustpan and brush. In fact, some days when I'm looking particularly untidy, he attempts to sweep me into the cupboard under the stairs, which is brimming with broken hoovers, plastic buckets, empty tins of paint, and a cleaning lady that I once killed.
Paul, you challenged.
Well, I mean, I've heard of clutter, but having a cleaning lady you once killed in a cupboard, that's very untidy, isn't it? There was a bit of hesitation in there.
I will give you hesitation, but no, I mean, in her world of fantasy, she could be have a cleaning lady, I don't know. Anyway. Paul, it's a correct challenge for hesitation. 33 seconds for you on clutter, starting now.
My mum used to work for Jenny Eclair as a cleaning lady, but sadly we haven't seen her for some 15 years now. We never know what happened to her. There was some talk perhaps she'd gone to the Amazon to find herself, or maybe to the Indian subcontinent.
Julian Clary, challenge.
He's deviating. He's talking about his mother in the Amazon, and not about clutter.
Yes,
I think that's a very good challenge. So, Julian, a correct challenge, 20 seconds available. Clutter, starting now.
Some people live in filth, but I'm not one of them. I enjoy nothing more than a squirt and a wipe in the kitchen. So all my clutter is kept in cupboards, on shelves, neatly labelled and stacked in piles. There's green clutter in one cupboard, and there's blue clutter under the stairs, and...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Repetition of cupboard.
There were two cupboards.
Yes, there were two cupboards, yes. Listen, you can enjoy the show, but you mustn't be... Clement, I see why you said, because you've estimated he's got in with only 3 seconds to go. Oh, you've got some friends there, some are cheering, Clement. So 3 seconds on clutter with you, Clement, starting now.
I have two cupboards, none of which have any clutter.
Clement Freud speaking as the whistle when gained that extra point with others in the round. He's now gone in the lead again. Head of Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Jenny Clair in that order. And Clement, your turn to begin. And the subject now is TV chefs. So tell us something about television chefs or TV chefs, starting now.
In olden days, there was Sina Skinner and Philip Harbin. They were...
Jenny Clair, challenge.
That was a gaping chasm.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I know you whipped this audience up into a frenzy to be on your side, Jenny, but no, I disagree.
I killed Paul Merton's mother. I'm quite prepared to kill you. No, give him the ball back.
No,
I don't mind.
I must be fair with the rules of adjustment. I don't think he paused to that extent. Teetering, close, but not there. 55 seconds with you, Clement, TV chefs.
I couldn't have paused much in 5 seconds, could I?
Not much.
Not having said all
that. But you were speaking a bit more slowly than usual. I think that was her point. Oh. But anyway, it wasn't. 55 seconds, TV chefs starting now.
Those original TV chefs actually taught viewers how to cook. They said, here is an oven, there a stove, under a grill, over a salamander, and eggs, meat, fish, nice things that people actually wanted to master were portrayed on the television screens. And today...
Jenny challenged again.
Did he say television twice? Did he?
Yes.
No.
TV chefs.
Oh, TV chefs.
You're it's so on the, cunning, on the Clement.
Yes, he's cunning, but you are funny, so there we are. 32 seconds, Clement, TV chefs, starting now.
Today's TV chefs actually try and tell you how terrific they are. Almost any programme on any channel, I've said any twice.
Yes. Paul was the first to challenge.
Said any three times.
Yeah, no. TV chefs, the subject's with you, Paul. 24 seconds, starting now.
I don't really take much notice of these TV chefs. Anthony Wall Thompson is one, and Ainsley Harriet I know from the days when he used to be on the cabaret circuit in London. But it's not the sort of shows that I really appeal to me. I'm not that interested in watching other people cook. It's a bit like watching paint... watching...
Jenny.
He said like twice.
Yes, and yes. Watching, and you've got him this time.
Are you right?
Yes.
I'm overexcited.
I know.
TV Chefs is with you now. 9 seconds, starting now, Jenny.
My favourite was Fanny Craddock, a ghastly gargoyle of the kitchen who used to bully her poor husband, Johnny, into a little puddle.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
The subject is TV Chefs.
Oh, you're being very subtle now. And I think Fanny would like to put herself into that category.
She had more balls on her, that woman.
Yes. I don't know anything about her private life. What do you mean she had more?
How would you have described her, Clement?
She was one chef, and the subject is chefs.
I think, Jenny, you were not deviating, and Fanny Craddock certainly was a chef and a cook and so forth, and you have 1 second to continue, starting now.
The Galloping Gourmet.
So Jenny Eclair, with other points in the round and also one for speaking as the whistle went, has leapt forward, and she's now in second place, just ahead of Julian Clary, and just ahead of them is Paul Merton and Clement Freud in that order, moving upwards. And Paul, your turn to begin on the subject, things that make me sneeze. Unusual subject. Tell us something about them in this game, starting now.
Teflon saucepans, balconies. These are the kind of things that make me sneeze. Hay fever is a terrible affliction which I suffer from very mildly.
Julian, you challenged.
I didn't mean to challenge. I thought you were about to...
Yes, but I didn't, did I? You're a bit premature.
Are you going to take a point away from me?
No, I can't. I never take points away. You either gain points.
Oh, don't you?
Yes, you gain points. And if you want to have him for hesitation, you gain a point.
But then you give him an extra point.
No, I don't give him an extra point. Julian, you played this game before.
Now you tell me.
Yes. And you've got a correct challenge.
Hang on. What was... what was his challenge?
Hesitation.
Well, he hasn't said that yet.
You did say it, didn't you?
I passed it to you on a little note.
You've given me an impossible situation, Julian. He hesitated and you haven't said it.
No, don't. So I agree. He hesitated.
I'm sure your friend Paul will give you a belated challenge there. 51 seconds. Let's hear from you on things that make me sneeze, starting now. Paul challenged.
Hesitation, I'm
yes,
afraid.
Yes, right, Paul. You've actually got the subject back. You didn't start. It was gone for a whole second. Nothing happened.
I was inhaling.
I think this makes it all fair and all square. They've both got a point. So, Paul, you have the subject back again. 50 seconds. Things that make me sneeze, starting now.
London Transport buses, gravel, wallpaper, hotel foyers, loose women.
Jenny challenged.
I think in his head he was seeing a comma, but it was a hesitation.
No, it wasn't a hesitation.
Wasn't it?
No. He was going on an incredible list, which was getting more and more devious as it went on, but nobody challenged
him. Yes, he was devious.
No,
that's
no,
what he was
no.
Doing.
It was a devious thought, but he wasn't deviating within the rules of just a minute. Paul, you have 44 seconds. Things that make me sneeze
Oh, and trains, and it's all kinds of things. Maybe, perhaps, the people we must feel sorry for today are the sneezers of Great Britain, those poor souls who can't help but find themselves afflicted by this terrible condition of the inner nostril. It's a crime that the government doesn't spend more money. I can't believe people are listening to this rubbish. There's somebody in the front row taking notes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're doing an after-dinner speech, obviously. Julian, you challenged.
A general breakdown that would come under the heading, I think, of deviation from the subject.
All right. He obviously wants to release the subject to you. You have 21 seconds on things that make me sneeze, Julian, starting now.
I actively seek out things that are going to make me sneeze because I enjoy the sensation. It's the nearest thing to an orgasm that some of us know.
Paul challenged.
Hesitation.
No. No. You have 13 seconds on things that make me sneeze, starting now.
Next to my bed, I've got a Peppermill. Just in case I wake up in the night and feel like a jolly good sneeze, I have been known to have a multiple sneeze, which was particularly thrilling. The last time I had one of those was in Greece. I think it was the donkeys that were in the room next door.
Well, Julian Clary was speaking as a whistle when getting that extra point. Others in the round. He's now moved forward from the last place into second place with Paul Merton, one behind Alida Clement Freud and just ahead of Jenny Eclair. And Julian, it's also your turn to begin. And the subject is appearing in panto. I think I should explain to my listeners the reason we got that immediate reaction from this audience here in Brighton is because Julian was in panto last Christmas here in Brighton. Appearing in panto is a subject, Julian, starting now.
Yes, indeed, it's true. This very erection on which I'm sitting was...
Jenny, you challenge.
He developed an unfortunate speech impediment.
After what he said, I'm not surprised. And, Jenny, you've got in with 57 seconds. Appearing in panto, starting now.
Extraordinarily enough, I have never been invited to appear in panto, possibly because I don't have the legs for the pantomime leading man-boy thing. I've got confused
Paul
now.
Paul challenged.
There's always the horse.
Oh, Paul.
It's Jenny. All right, I'll come back.
Jenny, sometimes I give bonus points for funny remarks.
But you this take case, one off him for being nasty.
No, on this occasion, I won't take one off him. I give you the bonus point, which goes to which should have could
and
have gone
can
to
I still
Paul
have the round?
And you've still got the round.
Thank you.
Yes. Because actually, you see, you weren't deviating. You get a point for being interrupted.
Yes.
You get a bonus point for the insult. And you have appearing in panto starting now.
I don't have the...
And he's challenge, yes.
Hesitation.
Yes. Go on, have it. I'm sick of this stupid round now.
All right. Clement, 47 seconds, appearing in panto, starting now.
There are two things you can do in life, and one is to appear in panto. The other is not to appear in panto. And I have chosen the latter of these options.
I would Paul challenged.
Well, it's a repetition of appear.
Yes.
It's on the card.
It says appearing.
Appearing is on the card.
And you said appear twice.
No, appearing in panto.
You said appear in panto or not appear in panto.
They don't like
No,
you.
Don't say ooh. It's a correct challenge.
On the basis of TV chefs and TV chef, that's a sort of...
Yes, I agree with Paul. That was pedantic. This wasn't. This is correct challenge, Paul. You have 37 seconds, appearing in panto, starting now.
I appeared in pantomime with Julian Clary on the ITV version of that popular Christmas pastime, and the audience was sickened by some of the things they saw on stage that night. Luckily, myself and my fellow panellists over there were absolved from the main blame, but the spectacle was absolutely appalling in the second half when somebody, a well-known TV face and indeed name, lost the plot completely and was very rude to one of the other performers on that particular erection. Now, I can't go into what they...
As Julian Cherry challenged.
Well, he's nicked my word, erection. I'd said that earlier.
Well, I was trying to not say stage again.
Yes. And it's also, I don't think the word is actually your particular person.
Well, he's done a lot. He's done a lot to make it popular.
I know. But I don't think he can claim it for himself. I think you should share it around.
Well, if there's one going, I'll have it.
I don't know where we're going with this one, but I think it's gone quite far enough. Paul, you've still got the subject. 7 seconds, appearing in panto, starting now.
The first pantomime I saw was at the London Palladium.
Clement Foy challenged.
Repetition of pantomime.
Yes, you did say pantomime before. Right. Yes. And the subject on the card is panto, hoisted on your own petard. Clement, you've got him with 3 seconds on appearing in panto, starting now.
I would like to give a number of locations in which I did not...
Clement Freud, speaking as a whistle, Wayne gained the extra point, has increased his lead at the end of that round. And I've got to say, this is the most partisan audience we've ever had for just a minute. My goodness me, you've got your favourites. You're prepared to fight for them. Paul, it's your turn to begin, and this could be a very interesting round. Because the subject in front of me here is Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. Paul, it's fallen to you to start the ball rolling. From your great wealth and erudition and your incredible education, tell us something from your knowledge of science about Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. And Julian eventually challenged, yes.
Well, he didn't say anything, so...
I didn't hear you say now.
Hesitation.
I didn't say now?
You didn't...
Oh! I was so carried away with the subject and thinking of E equals MC squared.
It's quite ironic that we should have an argument about time, but... I was waiting for you to say your time starts now.
Yes, I always do say that. On this occasion, I slipped up. I didn't say it, did I?
Yeah, isn't that odd?
But amazing. I've been playing this game for 35 years and it's the first time I've ever said it. Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, we're all familiar with Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. I can see there's a woman in the front row nodding. E equals MC squared. And what a wonderfully, evocatively formulaic thing that is. Who can forget the early days of the 20th century when Einstein turned to his wife, he says, I've got it, Eureka, and he got out of the bath and Archimedes' plan of isosceles triangle was born. Indeed, I believe it was the great architect Isambard Kingdom Brunel who once said, apropos of absolutely nothing at all, that the distance between the moon and Scunthorpe was somewhere closer than the inside pocket of an airing cupboard as found back in the streets of Hull.
I think that spontaneous round of applause means they want you to have an extra point, whatever happens, Paul. But you got it. But, Julian, you challenged.
Afraid it was sort of deviation.
Yes, he didn't stick to the theory of relativity.
Listen, how do you know?
I happen to know because his theory of relativity was on the basis that M is mass and energy is equal by mass.
That was his first theory.
No, that was his one, the one you quoted, E equals MC squared. The energy equals mass multiplied by the velocity of light in a vacuum, which is C squared. That... I did a bit of science at university. Julian, Albert Einstein's theory of relativity, 19 seconds, starting now.
Well, what a bore he must have been. Had he nothing better to do than sit around painting his nails, saying, oh, I think I'll come up with a theory. How about relativity? Then he went next door and he spoke to his neighbour, who said, you know what you want to do? You want to sit down with a pen and paper and think about it long and hard, and then in years to come, you'll be remembered as the Albert Einstein.
So Julian Clary with a point in that round and other points, of course, he's moved forward. He's just 1 point behind Clement Freud. He's just 1 point ahead of Jenny Eclair and a few points behind Paul Merton, our leader. So I think there's a fight for second place as we begin the last round. And it's with Clement Freud to begin. And the subject is My First Words. Tell us something about that, Clement, starting now.
My first words when I went to my preparatory school was to say to the headmaster, I would very much prefer not to be beaten by you, because my parents are against corporal punishment. My first words when I was in Parliament were fairly similar, but my first words in a bookmaker's shop were £4 each way on Pebbles, who is going to run in the 1,000 guineas at Newmarket, written by P.
Julian Clary Chance.
Well, in the interest of light entertainment, I challenge it as deviation.
The audience are applauding because they enjoyed the challenge, but actually, according to the rules of Just a Minute, he wasn't actually deviating from my first words. He was keeping them very much in the forefront of his dissertation, saying his first words here and his first words there. So, Clement, I can't give it against you, and you stay with it on 30 seconds to go, my first words starting now.
My first words when I was asked to discuss Albert Einstein's theory of relativity was to say everything is pretty relative, uncles, nephews, nieces, grandparents. And my first words when I was told that that was total...
Paul Merton-Chalmers.
Repetition of when I.
When I went
into a betting shop, when I talked about Einstein's theory of relativity, when I went to Paris.
Yes.
I don't want to rub it in. You know.
But I think you made your point.
I did, didn't I?
Yes. 14 seconds, Paul. You tell us something about my first words starting now.
My very first words on a professional stage occurred at the Comedy Store in 1981, a very tough venue in the heart of London's West End, and I was quite nervous about how it was going to go, but luckily I was acclaimed.
Clement, you challenge.
Repetition of West.
West?
West End and West One.
Say West One.
Yes, we did.
No, I didn't.
No, you said the heart of London. You didn't say West One.
Didn't say West One.
You meant West One.
How on earth did you know that? Yeah.
He was bluffing again, trying to get in with 1 second to go, and he's failed. So, Paul, you have the last second of the last second of this particular show, incidentally. My first words, starting now.
Zoological Garden.
We have no more time to play Just a Minute, so I give you the final situation. Jenny Eclair, Julian Clary and Clement Freud were almost equal in second place. There was only 1 point separating all three of them. But quite a number of points ahead, way out in the lead, was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, this week you are our winner. A round of applause for Paul. And it only remains for me to say thank you to our four intrepid players of the game, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Jenny Eclair and Clement Freud. We also thank Janice Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score. She's blown a whistle so excellently when the 60 seconds was up. And, of course, we are grateful to our producer and director, that is Claire Jones, and we're grateful or indebted to the creator of this game, Ian Messiter, and we are deeply indebted to this lovely audience here in this lovely city of Brighton, who have cheered us on our way and interrupted whenever they could. They've been a lovely audience. From our audience, from our panel, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Bye.